We're believers, amen, church? Mm. It's who
Praise
we are,
God.
And it's what we do daily.
Yeah.
It's what we're going to do now. We're going to hear the word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Naomi and Ulu, for the worship and the encouragement. Praise God. God is so good. And it doesn't matter about the devil at all. Not worth talking about him. Praise the Lord. We're believing that you're all well and healthy and strong and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Somebody's had a pain in the back of their head. In the back of your head, in your neck, back of your neck. Come here, Tony. Russell, come on here. Where's Ulu? You're there. And you? Oh, my goodness. I'm glad God knows about these things.
Yes.
Elizabeth, come. Let's just pray for Susan first. Ulu, you want to go home? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the anointing. Lord, it's the anointing that does the job. So, Father, for Susan today, let that anointing come over her right now. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Now, take it all, Susan. Be healed. The reason for it. Stop your operation now. Be released totally and completely in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Tony.
Praise
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Karaboshi Timosha. Would he be Shomono Kabarandele? The Holy Spirit is telling me it's about the glands in the back of your neck. So whatever that means, I don't know. I'm just going to put my hands there.
Yes.
Lay hands on, love. On the back of his neck, Father, I command all these glands now to be perfect.
Yes. Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
No cause for concern at all. Father, you said it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So, Father, let that anointing flow over him right now. Touch Tony in a way like he's never been touched before.
Yes.
And make it real in him today. In the name of Jesus. There it is. Now, you take that, Tony. That's the anointing of God. You just take that all. So that's the anointing. Don't fight it. Just take it. Because that's where the healing comes from. Korabashini Musata. Ola Nidi Kumatata. Take it all. Take all of that. There's more. There's more. It's all right. You don't have to fall down as long as you get the anointing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. It's done. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm glad God knows about all these things. Now, if you weren't here on Tuesday night, you missed a great session with Dwayne Sheriff. We got two more sessions in that series. He's talking about not giving in to spiritual burnout and so forth, and that's worth hearing. He's ministering to ministers, but you need to hear it as well. So if you're free Tuesday night, be here 7:30. It only goes for about an hour, so it was a great time. Now, today I want to talk to you about the message that the Lord put in my heart during this week was called Talk About the Benefits of Righteousness.
Amen.
The benefits of righteousness. You know, we as New Covenant people, as people who are, we consider ourselves to be Word of Faith people. I use that phrase carefully. On one of my early trips to America, when this message of who we are in Christ came into my heart and I began to understand it, I'd read by a man called Kenyon, and a lot of people have had difficulty with Kenyon, but I read some of his material, and I discovered that he was saying the same thing that God had put in my heart. And then we were teaching at a midweek in Lower Plenty, I think it was, one time when we were involved in another church, and a lady who was a nurse, I've forgotten her name for the moment. Angela Stewart came up to me and she says, "Oh, you've been reading Kenneth Hagin's book." I said, "Who's Kenneth Hagin? I never heard of him." And Kenyon was the father, really, of all of this message in our last 100 years or so. But when I began to teach this and I went to America talking about who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, the people just went crazy for it. They said, we'd never heard this stuff before. And yet it's being preached all the time over there, but I didn't call it Word of Faith, which has a bad name in some places. I called it New Creation. And so the message that I teach is really the new creation, who we are in Christ. And there are benefits for being in that and benefits for being righteous. And we who are Word of Faith, if I can use that phrase, we recognize ourselves as being righteous in God. But you know, even though we are righteous, over the years that we've been involved, which is now, we've gone well over 40, not everyone that we've come across who is a Christian acts like righteousness. Many people don't act like righteousness, so there's a need for us all to increase our knowledge on this and grow in it and become what God wants us to be. I was reading something last week and I thought I'll just share it with you. It's about nutrition. Now, I'm not a great nutritionalist, as you're probably aware. There's some foods I eat and some I don't eat, some I like and some I don't like. I just, you know, that's it. But I was reading about nutritionalists. And they made this statement, the thing I was reading says, that our appetites determine our diet. Our diet determines our food intake, and our intake determines our health. And they say, you are what you eat. So if you eat donuts all the time, you become like, oh, you wouldn't know about the man in America. There's a man in America, he's on a big stand, and I've forgotten his name now, Mr. whatever his name, but he's the donut man. But you see, the principle is you are what you eat is also true spiritually. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Now, Matthew chapter 5 is part of the Beatitudes. In fact, it's the fourth Beatitude. In Matthew chapter 5, when I get these sticky pages open, because as I told you last week, this is a new Bible. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to be blessed? Get a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Start to walk in righteousness. Start to talk in righteousness. Now, that is a simple sentence, really, that Jesus said. But in that simple sentence, he's telling us that our spiritual hunger is going to determine our spiritual health. How hungry you are for righteousness is a key to how well you're going to live spiritually. Now, that you have got to come to the place, folks, today where you actually want righteousness. You actually have to want to be righteous. How many of you have heard this phrase? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can lead you to the Word, but I can't make you listen and obey it. I can tell you about it. And so you have got to want it. You've got to come to that place where you actually want this to work for you. Now, for most of us here today, we don't have to be encouraged to eat when we go to the restaurant or when you go home or whatever it is. You know, the food is set down. Nobody has to twist your arm and say, you must eat. Most people just grab their knife and fork, say, thank you, Lord, and eat. I trust you remember the thank you, Lord, but because you pray over your food. You're sanctified by your prayer. So if you do that, then you don't have to be encouraged. So you don't have to be forced to eat. But sometimes I think the Lord is trying to encourage us to hunger and thirst for this righteousness. He's not forcing us, but he's trying to encourage us. If you were out in the desert, out in the, say, the little desert, we've been up in Dimboola. We used to have friends who lived in Dimboola. And when we would go to Adelaide, we'd stop off in Dimboola. We never went as far as Garoque. That's another 100 miles into the outside. But we'd go through Dimboola. We'd go off the highway and go into Dimboola. And the people who lived there, they had a small farm. He was actually the local policeman. And he had a small farm. And when we'd go there, we were driving at that time a Volkswagen bus. And we towed a caravan with the Volkswagen bus. Not that I would recommend that to you, because the little four-cylinder putt-putt doesn't really, you're trying to get up a hill, especially coming out of Adelaide, back up that hill is a job. Anyway, so we went to this farm at Dimboola. And what I'm talking about is, when we were there, he took us out into the little desert. So we went out, like 100 yards, I think it's about as far as we went. Elizabeth was ready for giving up right away. Anyway, so we went out and we looked at these little places. There was a little mission place there and different things we saw. But nothing but sand. What I'm saying is, if you're out in the middle of the desert, you're going to get thirsty. I'm getting thirsty even thinking about it now. Where's my drink? And so you get thirsty. You'd want water. You'd want to have a drink. You have to get that way to hunger and thirst after the things of God, after this righteousness. You need to come to that place where you really, really, really want this to work for you. You really, really, really need to have this working in your life. And God wants it to be that way. How many of you have read today's newsletter? Look, on the front of the newsletter, a life lesson for today. God has not called you to be unhappy simply to make somebody else happy. God wants you to be happy. Your job isn't to be unhappy so, whoever can be happy. No, your job is to be happy. I'm happy and I know it. All right. See, God wants the best for you. He doesn't want second best. He doesn't want third best. Now, oftentimes, I used to be in sales at one time, and I used to be in credit. I've had different jobs over my lifetime, and you all know I was a policeman and a bouncer. We've told you all of those stories. I can tell you stories for weeks on end. But when I was a salesman, one of the things we used to note was that people would get hungry as salesmen. I don't mean physically hungry, but they'd be hungry to succeed. They'd get hungry for sales. They'd go out there and you'd say, he's really hungry today and he's going to get a sale. And he'd go out and he'd make a sale and he was hungry to be successful. Now, it's that kind of passion that drives a salesman that we need to have to drive us as believers to pursue righteousness. To really want it, not pull back. Turn to Psalm 42 with me, if you would, because David has some interesting comments to make. Now, there's a lot of scripture about righteousness, and we'll cover several of those soon. But in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Oh, I was going to tell you about the policeman in Dimboola. He used to bless us every time we'd come through there and we'd stop. He had a petrol Bowser in his yard, for his farm vehicles. And he'd say, just pull your car around there and fill it up. And so every time we'd go past, we'd get a free fill of petrol, which was wonderful. And that was a blessing of the Lord, because in those days we didn't have very much. We were living on very little, and it was a real blessing to be able to fill up the car and not have to think about, how am I going to pay for this? Happened for us a few times. There's another time when there's a petrol strike on in Victoria, here in Melbourne. And a man who lived in Wonga Park, he called me up and he said, oh, Norm, if you need some petrol, go along to my petrol station. I have an account there. He's in Ivanhoe. And if you tell him that I sent you, you can fill your car up. So I went along and I had a big car at that stage, a Holden Premier. So I filled the Premier up. And then someone else needed petrol, so we siphoned some out of ours and put it into theirs, and it got passed along and passed along. But during the petrol strike, we never had to run out of petrol, because God provided. Even though we couldn't afford it, God still made provision for us. And it's happened time and time and time again. You found Psalm 42? Yeah. Look, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. You have to get a hunger. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The Amplified Bible says, as the hart pants, or the deer pants for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? We have to get this hunger and this thirst for the things of God. And it's not enough just to be coming to church. It's not enough just to come on a Sunday and a Tuesday. You have to get a hunger and a thirst, so you're going to seek God for these things for yourself. Turn over a couple more Psalms to 63. Psalm 63. Again, I'm just quoting David here. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. See, spiritually speaking, we're in a dry and thirsty land. I know that everyone says, well, Australia is a Christian country. And people think because they live in a Christian country, they're Christians. This is not a Christian country. It's a heathen country. The devil has more sway here than God has, it seems, in a lot of cases. But we have to hunger and thirst. And when you want God more than you want anything else, then you're going to be filled, and you'll be filled with Jesus himself. Amen. You've got to want the things of God more than what's happening this morning somewhere else. You've got to want the things of God more on a Saturday when the footy's on. You've got to really, really, really want and desire and yearn for the things of God. Now, my main reference today is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you turn there with me, we're going to look at several things. I'll just read verse 21, which all of you already know. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is the key scripture to what I'm going to continue to share with you, but we will cover all the verses around it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21. It says, "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Jesus, "who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we," that's you and I, "might become the righteousness of God in him," that's Jesus. So you and I today, who were sinners, have become righteous. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did for us. Now, let me just take you to another reference quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I just made a statement to you, and I said that you are filled with Jesus when you receive the Lord and you get filled. And I said last week, if you remember, I said when you receive Jesus, you receive the healer. He is the healer, he's the blessor, he's all of those things. So when you receive him, you receive all that he is. He's the Savior, the healer, the soon coming King, all of those things. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, "But of him," of God, "are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So when you receive Jesus, you receive righteousness. You became the righteousness of God. Now, that righteousness gives you the victory that Jesus won at Calvary. That gives you the right to be saying, "I am victorious. The devil is under my feet." It gives me the right to stand in the presence of God without any shame, without any inferiority, without any worry, without any concern, just as if I've never sinned. Just as if I never had any sin. See, God took my sin, put it on Jesus, and Jesus took it to Calvary and dealt with it. God took his righteousness and put it on me. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through. Now, here's another one we need to look at. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, find verse number 12. 1 Peter 3, 12. And I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. 1 Peter 3, 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." Who's the righteous? Yep. You are. So the eyes of the Lord are upon you. The Amplified said, "Those who are upright and in right standing with God, and his ears are attentive to their prayer." That means every prayer that you pray, God hears it. Amen. "But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil, to oppose them, to frustrate and defeat them." So God is listening and watching you. He's interested in you. He wants you to have the best possible life that you can. But thank God we don't live under the old covenant anymore. Under the old covenant, they had to make animal sacrifices every year to cover over their sins. The high priest had to go in and take all the blood of the animal and put on the mercy seat and all of those things. But today we don't have to do that. And I've mentioned this on several occasions. that, you know, we'd be knee-deep in blood if we were still under the old covenant. You'd have to be bringing doves and little goats and kids and things here for sacrifices to appease God. And you can't do that anymore. Jesus did it for you. His blood was shed for you. Here's a little reference you might want to make note of. I'm not going to go there and read it to you this morning, but it says this in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. God says, I have blotted out your unrighteousness, or I've blotted out your transgressions for my sake. He blotted out your transgressions for his sake, not for your sake. I think about it. See, a lot of people, oh, thank God I'm being forgiven my sin. Yeah, that's good, but he did it for his sake. He didn't do it for your sake. Because he wants you to have the best. He wants to, listen, he wants to see you successful. He wants to see you as righteousness. He wants to see you being all that you are. That's why he blotted it out so he doesn't see it. Some of you are not getting that. All right, go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, find verse number 9. Paul says that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The Amplified Bible says that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes from comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, and truly right standing with God, which comes from God by having saving faith. God did it for you, but he did it for his own sake. He wanted to see you as righteous. He wanted to see you in getting all that Jesus died to give you. People don't seem to understand that. You know, they think, well, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. That's the end of it. No, there's more to it than that. You are going to go to heaven if you're saved, but you have to live a victorious life here and now on the earth. The principle is this, that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel came out and God said, I want you to go into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. It flows with milk and honey. He said, I want you to go. They had to go. In other words, they had to go and possess what God promised them. God has already promised much to you and to me. We need to possess it. It'll never be ours unless we take hold of it. We have to take hold on healing, take hold on the blessings, all of those things. So it doesn't really matter how many times you've failed before. Guess what? God says, get up and keep going. Says in Micah, though I fall, get up again and keep on going. Micah 6:9, I think it is. Get up, keep on going. We need to become more aware of righteousness than we are of the sin. I think it's Kenneth Copeland. He says, I need to become righteousness conscious and not sin conscious. Now turn back to the book of Psalms. I want to read a number of verses to you from the Psalms. And these verses that I'm going to read to you are all the benefits of being righteous. First one, Psalm 5. I'll wait on you till you find them. Or plug into your little electric battery operated, whatever it is. Psalm 5, verse 12. It says, for you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Hey, I'm talking to the righteous. God says he's going to bless you and surround you with favor like a shield. The favor of God is going to be so tight around you that nothing can get in. Nothing from the devil can come in to distract or destroy. Let's go to another one. Psalm 34, find verse 17. Psalm 34, 17. These are the benefits of being righteous. These are the benefits of you knowing that you are righteous. Psalm 34, 17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all of their troubles. I'm talking to the righteous. When you cry out, God hears. I've already told you, when you pray, he hears you. When you cry out, he hears, and he delivers you out of all of your troubles. Not one or two, but all of them. You need to do what Elizabeth's doing. Mark these in your Bible. These are ones you want to read over and over and over. Next psalm, Psalm 35, just across the page. In Psalm 35, verse 27 and 28, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, if God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, and we are no longer servants but sons and daughters of the living God, then he is ecstatic about your prosperity.
Amen.
Verse 28, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Benefits of being righteous and knowing you are the righteousness of God. Turn across to Psalm 37, verse 18 and 19. The Lord knows the days of the righteous, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Benefits of knowing you are the righteousness of God. Drop down to verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man. Now, that is translated in different translations. Some places say an overcomer. But in one translation I read, it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. That's the righteous man's way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Amplified says, the steps of a righteous man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way, and he busies himself, that's God, busies himself with your every step. God is watching every step that you take. There's no place that the sole of your foot will go that God hasn't already known where it's going to. So you need to be careful where you walk. Then it says, verse 24, Amplified, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. It's easy to fall, you know. It's not difficult. The enemy's always out to trap us and trying to knock us down, so it's easy to fall into a trap. Turn to Psalm 55. Now, I'm giving you the benefits of knowing that you are righteous. Psalm 55, verse 22. Now, these are only a few. You understand that? Practically every other verse in the Bible talks about righteousness. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The Amplified says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. There's a good verse for you. Psalm 55, 22 in the Amplified Bible. The benefits of knowing you are the righteousness of God. Turn over a few more. Psalm 92. Now, you all know Psalm 91. We've read that so many times. But Psalm 92, verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. Psalm 92, 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, here's this one translation. I think it's the Living Bible for verse 14 says, they shall be green and full of sap. That's especially for the Irish people, I think. Green and full of sap. The Amplified says, you'll be growing in grace. You shall still bring forth fruit in your old age. They shall be full of saps of spiritual vitality, rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. Now, one more, because, I mean, there's so many of these. Go to Psalm 146. These are the benefits of knowing you are righteous. I wonder if you've clicked onto the fact this morning that you are righteous. Psalm 146, verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. God loves you this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Samuel. The rest of you must still be sleeping. The Lord loves the righteous. Now go to Proverbs. Find chapter 11. Good for you to look at some of these verses in your Bible this morning. Did I say chapter 11? Chapter 10. It's Proverbs 10 and verse 21 and 22. Proverbs 10, 21. Listen to this. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes the righteous rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes the righteous rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10, 21. Now let me take you to another one. Then we're going to go back to Corinthians again and look at a couple of verses there. In 1 John chapter 1. That's down the back of your Bible. When you're getting Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 John chapter 1. Find verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. This is a lifesaver for many people. This is your life raft or the whatever you want to call it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, that means there has to be a confession and there has to be a repentance. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't think you're getting it. You don't understand the word all. Little word, three letters, A-L-L. That means all. There's nothing that you've done or can do that God can't forgive. He can forgive all our unrighteousness. The condition is we have to confess it because he's faithful and just to forgive us. The Amplified Bible says, if we freely admit that we've sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and true to his own nature and promise and will forgive our sins. He will dismiss our lawlessness and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action. Everything that is against the word of God, he will forgive us if we confess it. Now go back to 2 Corinthians with me, where we said that was our key scripture, and we'll go back there again. Now, you're really getting a Bible study this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read for you verse 21, God made him, Jesus, to be sin for you and for me. Jesus knew no sin that we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Now, when you go back and read a few verses before that, say verse 17, which you know and have read many times. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So that means, and I've told you so many times, that as a new creation, as a person who is now the righteousness of God, you have no past. You don't have a past. It's gone, forgotten, forgiven. It's gone. God has done it for his own sake, not for your sake. It's never going to be brought up again as far as God is concerned. The devil will try to remind you, but you need to remind the devil of where he's going to. You can say, devil, I read the end of the book. Put on your asbestos shoes. I know where you're going. He's going back to the fire. And it's not going well, just to warm him. All right, praise the Lord. So we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Verse 18 says, now these things are all of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We have no past. That is difficult for a lot of people. Trying to get over the past. God is not in your past. He's not in your future. He's only in your present.
Amen.
He says, I am. God lives in eternity. There's no time restrictions in eternity. When God saved you, Samuel, in his eternity, he took a piece of his eternity. He called it today, and he put Samuel in it.
Amen.
When it comes to your tomorrow, Samuel, which we call Monday, guess what? It's still today with God. I am. He's never I will be or I used to be. He took a piece of where he was in eternity and is in eternity, took this little fragment. He said, I'll call that today and I'll put Robert, whatever your name is, That's where you are. You're in your today. Because when it comes to tomorrow, it's still today. Never changes. See, that's what eternity is all about. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. It's just going to keep on. God put you in a place where he is. It's always today with God. That's why you've got to come to this place where you realize, hey, I don't have a past. My past is gone. It's finished with. God took this little piece of eternity to put Samuel in it. And he said, Samuel, I'm going to call your piece of today 120 years for your sake. Not for his sake. So I'm going to call it 120 years. You can use up as much of it as you want, but you've got 120 of them. And no matter what day in the 120 you're in, it's always today. This body will get older because that's how it is, but the spirit man doesn't. The spirit man lives in today. Your spirit man is already living in eternity with God forever, never changing. See, the spirit has got to become stronger in you than what's happening. Because sickness comes in this body. It doesn't come in the spirit man. Spirit man's already got Jesus in there. Spirit man is already righteous. Spirit man is already healthy. Spirit man is already blessed. So we have to start to live out of our spirit. Verse 19. It says, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God is not imputing our trespasses to us. Trespasses mean sins. God's not holding you responsible for your sin. He's taken your sin and my sin and held Jesus responsible for it. He imputed our sin onto Jesus. Jesus took our sin, went to Calvary, dealt with it for us. Amen. I'm looking at a bunch of people who don't even know what sin is. Amen. See, you come to a place where you don't really think about sin. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. So don't think about sin. Don't think about your past. Think about the possibilities and the greatness of God in you today. Today is where you're at. This whole message that I'm sharing with you about the benefits of knowing the righteousness of God, I call this the great exchange. Yes. God has taken all that I was, put it all on Jesus, and exchanged his righteousness for my sin. Now listen to me. Here's a key for you. When you got saved, you didn't become half righteous. You become wholly righteous. Not H-O-L-Y, although that is true. It's W-H-O-L-L-Y. You became totally righteous in the spirit man. You're not half righteous. You're all righteous. You are the righteousness of God. And as we read in one of the verses before, there is no unrighteousness in him. So there's no unrighteousness in you. Oh, I don't know, man. I tell you, this is good. Some of you need to... Now, listen to me. Some of you this morning, you need to come to a place where you give up religion and take up righteousness. Stop being religious. Because it's there to kill you. Religion is there to bring you to an awareness of your sin. Righteousness says, I don't have any sin. I'm free. Amen. I've been set free. Thank God. Let me just take you to two more scriptures and then we'll finish. We'll try and finish. I could go on with this for hours. In Romans chapter 8, you know these verses. Now, I made a statement to you. I said you need to give up religion and take up righteousness. Romans 8 and verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. Can I put it to you? This is Norman's translation. To be religiously minded is death. But to be spiritually or righteously minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh or those who are in religion cannot please God. So we need to give up this religion and start taking up righteousness. Verse 13. If you live according to the flesh or according to religion, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're almost there. 1 Corinthians 15. Here's two verses I used last week, and I'll use them again this week, 33 and 34. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The Amplified says, do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion and associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Then verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some do not have the knowledge of God. And Paul says, I speak this to your shame. The Amplified says, awake from your drunken stupor. Return to sober sense and your right mind and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant. And continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. And I say this to your shame. That's he's talking about religion. Religion lacks the knowledge of God. Religion is a system whereby it says you must do this, and if you do that, it'll work. That's not righteousness. Righteousness says, I've already done it. Thank you, Father, it's mine, and I receive it. Now let me take you to one last verse today. So you got to come to the place on Monday mornings that you don't waken up Monday morning saying, good Lord, it's morning. You got to get up and say, good morning, Lord. Yes. Monday's a difficult day for some people. Go back to Romans chapter 5 and we'll finish on this. Wake up to righteousness. Every morning, thank you, Father, I am the righteousness of God. Doesn't matter what you feel like, doesn't matter if it's snowing outside or raining or pouring, you say, thank God, I am the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, one man is Adam, if by Adam's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life. That's not R-A-I-N, that's R-E-I-G-N. That means rule. That means be in charge of. That means be the boss. If by one man Adam's offense death reigned through that one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, Adam's offense, judgment came on all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man, that's Jesus, his righteous act, we shall be free, and that freedom came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Amen. You're righteous not because of you, but because of Jesus, because of what he did for you. Now listen to me, here's a statement for you. Your righteousness is just as good as Jesus' righteousness because it is. Amen. I see some of you just say it again. All right. Your righteousness is just as good as Jesus' righteousness because it is his righteousness. Amen. He gave you his. When God looks at me, he no longer sees me as I used to be. He now sees Jesus. Thank God. Hallelujah. Did you understand all of them? Is this helping you today? Oh, I trust it is. All right, thanks, Russell. You want to come finish for us this morning?